Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced.
Well, hey, church. My name is Ben, and it is fantastic to have you joining with us today. Now, just a little bit of a public service announcement. Around about 4 or so months ago, so just before we went into lockdown, the council put in a new speed bump on Clines Road, which is the road that our church property is on, which is fantastic. You know, anything to make the road safer is great and exactly what we need. However, I've noticed in myself and in other drivers as well that when we drive the same route over and over again, day after day, we can kind of go a little bit into autopilot mode. Do you know what I mean? And it's not that you're not driving safely or anything like that. It's just that as you're driving, you've driven that route so many times that you just know what to expect while you're driving. Well, I must admit that as I drove into church for the first time in a while a few weeks ago, I was quite surprised to find this new speed bump, and I probably took to it a little bit faster than I should have because I was in my autopilot mode. Now, thankfully, everything was still pretty locked down at that point, so there was no one around, and the only thing that really got hurt was my ego. Now, this is a public service announcement, especially as we all start to talk about coming back to in-person services at church soon. But this also reminded me, it's so easy for us as people to go into autopilot mode, isn't it? And I'm not just talking about my terrible driving habits. I think when we come to church, when we open up God's word, it's really easy for us to just get into this rhythm of doing what we do each week, to go into autopilot mode as we talk about God. But then the question is, what do we do when we hit that metaphorical speed bump? What do we do when that rhythm is disrupted? Well, today we're finishing off our series looking through these different themes in the Psalms, these declarations about the Lord. You know, the Lord is my hope. The Lord is my portion, my shepherd, my refuge, my strength. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this series has just been perfect for me over the last few weeks. You know, looking at the declarations in the Psalms has forced me to reconsider these really well-known truths about God. It's forced me to reconsider these truths in a time when my rhythms have been more disrupted than ever. And to stretch the metaphor possibly a little bit too far, just like how that bump in the road causes me to slow down and drive safer, the last few weeks looking at the Psalms has caused me to slow down and recognize who God is in the middle of the complexities of, you know, going into and staying in and now coming out of lockdown. So today we're finishing off this series with the declaration that the Lord is my God. Now, that might sound a little bit obvious to you to say that the Lord is my God. And I mean, that makes sense. Nowadays, we use the words Lord and God in church pretty interchangeably. So what does it actually mean then to declare the Lord is my God? I mean, isn't that just like saying my mum is my mum or my child is my child or maybe my dog is my dog? I mean, what's the point in saying that? See, this is a phrase that is mentioned all throughout Scripture. And there's multiple times when the psalmist utter the phrase, "The Lord is my God," or "God is my God," or "God, you are my God." So what does that actually mean? What's the significance of saying that God is my God? Well, to figure that out today, we're looking at its use right at the beginning of Psalm 63. And to see how this passage applies to us today, it's important that we know what it meant in its original context. So Psalm 63 is believed to have been written by David. And we get this little sentence at the beginning of it that tells us that it was also most likely written when he was in the desert of Judah. Now, this is unfortunately still unclear as to when in David's life he might have written this, because believe it or not, for a king, David actually spent quite a lot of time running away from people in the desert. I don't know, he must have just been a summer kind of a guy or something like that. See, David spent some time in the desert when he was running away from the jealous king Saul, who disliked David because, you know, Saul thought that he would be dethroned and replaced by David. So it's highly possible that this passage was written while David evaded Saul's pursuit of him. But it's also really possible that this passage could have been written when David himself was king of Israel, and he, again, was fleeing from danger, but this time from his son Absalom. And look, you might know these stories really well, you might not know them all at all, but just think for a second, can you imagine how hard it would have been for David, in both of these situations, to be running away into the desert, fleeing, fearing for his life? How hard would that have been? Well, whichever circumstance David was in when he chose to write this psalm, he was in a dry and desolate place. When he wrote this psalm, he was fearing for his life. He'd been betrayed. He was probably pretty confused with what God might be doing. And, you know, there was probably just so much uncertainty as to what was going to happen next. Now, most of us probably haven't been pursued across the desert while, you know, a tyrannical person tries to attack us. Although if you have, I would love to hear that story. It would make a great movie. But I'm sure that we do each know what it means to deal with feelings of uncertainty, don't we? To struggle to overcome our fears. We each know what it means to deal with our very real disappointments or frustrations. And so I wonder, if you were in David's shoes, how would you have responded? And when you find yourself battling uncertainty or fear or disappointment, how do you respond today? Well, I hope one of the things that you said was write a bunch of songs about it, because that's exactly what David did. Now, David isn't afraid of a lament psalm, which, if you don't know what a lament psalm is, it's basically where the author cries out. You know, he appeals to God to do something. The author's often filled with anguish and is distressed about things going on for them at that time. And it's almost like they're in this place where the only thing they have left is the ability to cry out and ask God for help. And, you know, given the other psalms that we have attributed to David in the Bible, it's safe to say that David knows how to lament. So with the context that we're given, it's easy to assume that this is just going to be another one of those lament psalms. You know, David's in need of help, and he knows that God can do something. But we actually see something else here. David starts this psalm, and if you have your Bibles, make sure you open them up. David starts this psalm in verse 1 saying, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." With everything going on, David's sole desire, and remember again that he's in the desert, either being chased by the king who wants him dead or being chased by his own rebellious son who also wants him dead, David's sole desire is that God would be with him. Now, I'm sure that in these situations of distress, David probably would have also prayed for help, maybe for some food and water and protection, possibly even for a better babysitter for the future. But this psalm, David chooses not to lament. And sometimes it is a choice, isn't it? It can be so easy when things aren't going well in our lives that we can just find ourselves lamenting. And we might not use that word, but how often do we complain or focus on the negative or even just give up? And that's not to say that lamenting is wrong. There's so much of it in the Bible. Yet this psalm is an example where David chooses not to complain. Instead, he puts his trust in God. You see, rather than a lament, this is actually a psalm of confidence. And as we read on, we see that David prays to God with assurance that God is filled with power and glory, and we see that in verse 2. But even beyond that, in verse 3, he declares that God's love is better than life itself, which just totally speaks into David's absolute conviction that God reigns supreme. And then in verse 5, David is certain that he will be fully satisfied, as with the richest of foods in God. And he's confident that God will be his help in verse 7, and that those who are after him will not be successful in the slightest sense in verses 9 to 11. See, in a dry and parched land, where David is stuck, where he fears for life, and he is so uncertain as to what's in store for him, David is confident that the Lord is all that he needs. To David, the declaration that the Lord is my God, or that God is his God, that declaration is his acknowledgement that in whatever situation he may be in, he will seek the Lord, he will be sustained by God, and he will live in light of the glory of God. And so as we read this psalm, we can have the same heart. What does it mean for us to declare that the Lord is our God? Well, in whatever situation that we may be in, we must seek the Lord. We must be sustained by him and live in light of his glory. And there's so much in this psalm that is just gold. You know, as I've been reading it over the last week, I've been so encouraged by it. And this has actually been a psalm that's helped me through lockdown a bit as well. But I do just want to focus on those three things. I want to spend some time looking into what it means to seek God, what it means to be sustained by him, and what it means to live glorifying him as well. So what does it actually mean to seek God? Well, we see that for David, when he talks in verse 1 about seeking God, it isn't just about him, you know, looking around a bit as if he's lost something. He searches earnestly for it. In fact, he expresses this powerful, longing desire for the near presence of God with this metaphor of thirst in a dry land. He considers life without the presence and action of God to be a life that is without. And so even in the middle of hardship, he earnestly seeks and longs for God's hand to be at work in his life. I want you to think of those times in your life when you feel exhausted or frustrated or uncertain about things. Do we seek the Lord as first priority in those situations? Maybe there's even a situation right now that you find yourself in and you haven't gone before God with it yet. What would it look like if you were to seek God in the middle of that? See, David knew that despite everything else, his God was with him and loved him. And so he sought God even when things were at their hardest. What would it look like for you today to seek God? David expresses that he needs God to live. He needs God to live, to be satisfied, to rest, to be safe. David totally relies on the presence of God for everything that he needs. So not only do we seek out the Lord in our lives, but this psalm encourages us to learn what it means to be sustained by God and to fully trust in him as well. I think a lot of us like to have a sort of plan for our lives, don't we? But if you're like me, then the plans that you made years ago probably haven't gone exactly as you thought they would. For example, when I was a kid, I really, really wanted to be a postman, just because I wanted to ride a motorbike all day, every day. And look, that hasn't worked out yet, but hey, never say never, right? I used to be really, really concerned, though, about whether things were going to go according to my plans. And it would actually cause me great anxiety when things might go in a different direction. But in the last few years, I've come to realize that, look, maybe the guy who created the universe and has been around since the beginning of time, maybe he has a better idea of what a good plan is. But one of the things that's been most helpful in me being able to rely on God is actually remembering what God's done in the past. What he's done in the past for me, but also what he's done globally and in the past for people around me as well. Remembering the move of God in the past helps us to recognize his move in the present. See, the reason that David feels so comfortable to rely on God and trust him with his future is found in verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 63. He says, "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings." See, the image here is of one who is restless, one who's unable to sleep because of their tense circumstances and uncertainty. But by the grace of God, through the night, they remember the help of God. Remembering the move of God in the past helps us to, in part, acknowledge and recognize the move of God in the present. John Piper, a pastor in the US, says, "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him." And look, that has a whole bunch of different implications that we won't go into today, but I really, really love the heart of what Piper says here. If we are to glorify God in all that we do, then we have to know our God. We have to know him as the one who helps us, the one that we cling to, the one who upholds us. We have to know and recognize our God as the one who sustains and satisfies us. And look, that's not to say that we should all just be like some kind of Christian version of monks who live lives totally separated from anything else. I'm not saying that we only need God to satisfy us, although maybe I am. Because when we look at the person of Jesus, don't we see someone who has totally and completely filled the gap between God and humanity? In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus declares that he is the bread of life, and that anyone who comes to him will never go away needing more. And in John 15, Jesus talks about himself as the true vine, and he calls his followers to abide in him, to abide in him as their source of life. Jesus' ministry is all about bringing people to know the Lord as their God. And central to his message is the idea that we must come to him and find fulfillment in him. And as people on the other side of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, to declare that the Lord is God, we must put our faith and our trust totally in Jesus as the one who sustains us and satisfies us and fulfills us and gives us new life. And of course, this has implications for how we live as well. So what does it mean to glorify God in everything we do? Well, what's interesting about this psalm is that although it is totally directed towards God, it also has so much to say about our role in bringing him glory. All throughout Psalm 63 are verbs, doing words that arise out of the confidence that David has in God. And I have something written down here. It says that David seeks God. He thirsts. He longs. He sees. He beholds. He glorifies. He glorifies, prays, lifts up, remembers, thinks, sings, clings, rejoices, swears by God, and glories in him. To acknowledge the Lord as our God isn't just at a heart or a cognitive level. Our response to what God does and who he is an active response as well. And that response reveals itself in many ways, through the way that we worship God, how we interact with his people, how we go on mission in our own contexts, and even how we go about living with a posture of obedience and reverence for God's word. So what does it mean for you today to not only declare, but show that the Lord is your God in the way that you live? I mean, in the way that you parent, or in the way you interact with your neighbors or work or schoolmates, in the way you act when people are watching, and even in the way that you act when people aren't watching. What does it mean for you to declare and show that the Lord is your God in your life? Now, I imagine that a lot of us can relate to what David is feeling in the desert. And if you're anything like me, the last few months have just been exhausting and frustrating and disappointing. And the uncertainty of what's to come has meant that there just hasn't really been too much to look forward to. And even now, even with restrictions starting to ease up a little bit and the joy of just a little bit more freedom being offered to people, there's still a general uncertainty as to what life is going to look like in a few months' time. And the exhaustion is still very, very real for some. But just like David, we are not left alone in the uncertainty. Just as it was for David when he wrote this psalm, we can trust in God as our sustainer and as our help. And what's more, we have Jesus. You see, through Jesus, we already have the confidence and the knowledge that God fulfills his promises. And we know that we have a hope that goes beyond this world. We have this eternal hope in him that illuminates all that goes on around us every day. In the last few weeks, we've talked about how the Lord is our hope, our portion, our shepherd, our refuge, and our strength. You see, this is our God. Our God is the one who sees us, who knows us, and who loves us deeply. And when we seek him, when we trust in him, when we live our lives out, when we live out our faith in the risen Jesus, then we know that we don't have to be afraid. Because that same God who is our hope, that same God who is our portion and provider, the same God who's our shepherd, our refuge and our strength, the same God that David knew that he could trust in, he is our God too. And my encouragement to you is, if you are feeling distant from God in any way at the moment, seek him out. If you are feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and confused, look for where you can see God at work and pray for his sustaining power. And if you know that God is with you, if you know that he loves you and is your help, then don't be afraid to live that out. Let his glory be shown through everything that you do. Let me pray for us. God, you are our hope. You are our portion, our shepherd, our refuge. You are our strength. And Lord, you are our God too. Lord, I want to thank you for your word that we have. Thank you for this psalm that was written by David in a time of uncertainty. And Lord, as we are in a time of uncertainty, God, I pray that you would help us to hold fast to you. Give us the strength to seek you, God. Lord, sustain us in everything that we are and everything that we do. And in everything that we do, Lord, I pray that we would bring you glory. So, Lord, be with us, strengthen us, and show us today what you're doing in our lives. We love you, God. Amen.